From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on Saturday in Washington, D.C. and around the world. What began as a planned women's march on Washington turned into coordinated rallies and marches in every state and in dozens of countries. It's not easy to estimate exactly how many people demonstrated on Saturday, but it's safe to say the answer is upward of 3 million worldwide. And here I state a fact, not a value judgment, but also not an alternative fact. There were significantly more people who attended the march on Washington on Saturday than there were who attended Donald Trump's inauguration on Friday. So what next? For many marchers, this was the first step toward a more active civic engagement. For others, this was continuing a lifetime of work. So will that continue? Will we see more organization, more active civic engagement for many Americans who haven't been involved before? Let me introduce my guests for the hour. Three of our four panelists were in Washington. They include Bob Good. Bob, nice to see you. Thanks for being here. Also here is Bonnie Butkus, who's part of the leadership team with Action Together Rochester. Bonnie, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
And Miriam Zinter is here as well. Miriam, I'm glad you finally found a plane that was able to get you back home yesterday.
Thanks so much, Evan.
It was sort of hit and miss for a little while, huh?
It was.
Well, it's nice to have you back here.
Thanks for being here.
And Nicole Black is co-organizer of the Rochester Rally with Action Together Rochester, Stronger Together Western New York. Nicole, thanks for being here as well to you.
My pleasure.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. I want to start with all of you were in different places, but were witnessing civic engagement at a broad scale. And Bob, you know, I know you've been involved for many years in many different places. You probably met a lot of people yesterday. This was their kind of first steps in a while to get involved. What did you see in Washington?
First, it was overwhelming.
Yeah.
In a very positive way. It was also incredibly uplifting and good-spirited. There was, you know, people were very clear about their beliefs, but there was no, you know, anger or, you know, people were very positive. Also, a wide range of ages, lots of young people that were, was very great to see them being enthusiastic and engaged.
And did you get the sense that that was a one-off, or do you think that that was the seed for a lot of people to get involved in many ways?
Oh, I think we'll see this grow.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. Miriam, what did you see?
I think they've awakened the activist in a lot of people. I saw families with little kids. I saw people wheeling grandmothers. I saw men and women. I saw people of all races, religions, reasons for being there. I think our president has awakened the activist in a lot of people. People are concerned, and people want to make certain that their voices are heard.
Did you feel the kind of energy that Bob said, a positivity, whether it was on a plane coming in, on the metros, on the streets?
It was incredibly positive. People were smiling. People were sharing their snacks. Some school children from Baltimore were handing out pins that said love. People were giving each other buttons and hugging each other. We were even greeted by the National Guard as we came in. They were giving us high fives. People were out along the streets. When we walked in from the buses into the rally site, the whole neighborhoods, they all had these placards on their front yards that had words from Dr. King. And they were out on their balconies and their porches giving us the thumbs up and waving. It was a very festive atmosphere. It was serious. We knew we were there for a serious reason, but we were all on the same team.
Bonnie, how about you? What did you experience?
It was an incredibly positive experience. I will say it was a positive experience within the context of a lot of other activities that are already happening. So some people are talking about the march as the place where we start. But for folks like Nicole and myself, Action Together really came together right after the election. So we've already been doing trainings. We've already been doing meetings. We've already been forming committees and talking about what we want to do. And we have a very active social media presence. So the march was amazing. And I do think it brought out people who have never marched before, never been an activist in this way. But to me, it was one part of a larger action that's already happening. It didn't start with the march.
And Nicole Black is the co-organizer of what we saw in Rochester, which is, do we have an estimate on how many you think were out in Rochester on Saturday, Nicole?
Well, the estimates range from 1,000 to 3,000. I would say about 2,000 was a good estimate.
Good estimate there. So Rochester, obviously one of cities, many cities around the world that had demonstrations. But what was your experience in Rochester, and did it match what you had hoped to have here?
Well, when we initially started planning, we were hoping for 500, so it certainly exceeded our expectations and almost the capacity of the park. People were overflowing onto the sidewalks and into the street, and they had to close the streets off around it, and also closed 490 off a couple exits. So it certainly exceeded our expectations in terms of numbers, and with those numbers came an energy and a sense of community that, you know, there were so many people in Rochester, especially given that there was also one in Seneca Falls that was quite large. So there were really a lot of a large presence here in Rochester of people that were energized and that committed to hopefully moving forward and making change in the face of this current administration.
And did you have a chance to talk to people who are going to want to be involved going forward? Again, not just on Saturday, but involved in different ways and different, perhaps different organizations or different outreaches?
Well, one of the things that we did with the rally was we rented some space in the Universalist Church, and we had tables set up from all different community organizations so that people could get information about them, sign up to start to become active with them. And one of the comments that we saw often on the Facebook page for the event, following the event, were people thanking us for having those because they did sign up, and also asking for links to those different websites so that they could get more information. So definitely.
Listeners, if you want to join the program, I'd love to hear from you. And I don't want to limit it to just those who attended marches, though. If you attended, whether it was in Washington or in Rochester, Seneca Falls, or anywhere around the country, you can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. If you're someone who maybe doesn't understand, or you want to understand more, or you feel like you are kind of in opposition to some of the messages, that's fine too. You can call the program. Let's talk about all of these things. Again, it's 844-295-8255. I will say one thing about bubbles. You know, since the election, the media in particular has been on the receiving end of a lot of lectures about how, you know, we were bubbles, we missed this Trump surge, particularly in rural areas. I think some of the criticism is valid. I think some of it's a little unfair. But I think we've all been trying to look inward a little bit. I think it's fair to say if you don't know anybody who marched or supported the marches this weekend, you might also be in a bubble. And if that's the case for you and you really don't understand it, this is a great chance for you to ask questions, to join the dialogue. Let's listen to someone who clearly does not understand what the point was. And I know some of our listeners might think, well, does this really overlap with the Connections audience? There's plenty of Fox News watchers who listen to Connections. I can promise you that. And this is what Rudy Giuliani said this morning about just not getting what this whole thing was this weekend.
You do have some real issues, but most of the people I saw in Washington, and even the ones here in New York, because I got back in time, I'm not even sure they know what they're not protesting any one thing. It's not as if we're protesting Roe against Wade.
I don't get it. I mean,
it's
I listen to all these speeches. I don't even know what their complaint is.
Something's bad about Trump.
Right.
Whatever that's supposed to be.
All right, so Bob, let's go around the table here. If Mr. Giuliani were here and he said, look, I don't get it, I honestly don't think the protesters even knew what they were protesting, what would you tell him?
I would say on one level, it's real important that we don't normalize this presidency. I mean, I disagreed with George W. Bush and, you know, with Republican presidents in the past. I think this is a very different nature. Trump is coming in essentially determined to dismantle just about everything that our government has built for the last 50 or 60 years since FDR. He stands for misogyny. His comments on women and his treatment of women from the beginning is just should not be tolerated. We should not have this as what our, you know, population, our sons, our daughters, our wives, our mothers, are seeing. In civil rights, he's nominating Jeff Sessions, who was turned down years ago as a supremacist for being a federal judge. The list goes on and on. Every single appointee that he is trying to appoint is determined to basically dismantle what they're going after, what the essence of that organization is. And I think there's just a long list.
Yeah, Miriam, when I hear Rudy Giuliani, I actually don't hear a very good faith comment there. You don't have to agree with everything that the marchers stand for, and certainly there's some disagreement even within those who were demonstrating. But to say, I don't think they know what they're marching for, I think is not a good faith argument. But what would you say to Mr. Giuliani?
Why does it have to be about one thing? When people say, well, what is your one thing? life isn't about just one thing. Life is about many things. And with the group in Washington, we were protesting about many things. And frankly, that should be a concern. It's not just one thing. It's about somebody feeling that when you're famous, you're entitled to grab somebody in a private area. It's a problem when somebody says, I think we need to make a registry about people who are of a different faith. It's a problem when somebody repeatedly nominates for cabinet positions people who are not qualified and who've publicly stated that they want to dismantle some of the core things of our society. So no, Mr. Giuliani, it wasn't about one thing. Okay. It's about a lot.
All right. Bonnie?
Well, I think there's places where all of those issues intersect. So if we talk about climate change, if we talk about pollution and the possible rollback of those regulations, which have started to ensure clean air and clean environments for our children, urban poor populations are hit the hardest often with adverse effects in their environment. So those things intersect. The fact that women aren't paid the same as men, women of color are paid even less, like that intersects with our need for universal health care and our need for child care. Those are all those things intersect. So I think that there's a place where what we were marching for and what we were protesting against, there's places where those intersect, and that's what the platform for the Women's March was all about. And that's what we tried to do here locally. And that's what Action Together is trying to do as well, is look at all the issues and find ways to help.
And Nicole, in Rochester, it was billed as more of a solidarity rally, a unity rally, as opposed to a quote unquote Women's March, even though it was sort of under the umbrella of with the same spirit as the events we saw around the world. What would you say the focus is on your mind, and on, you know, if you can speak as well as you can for the demonstration we had in Rochester on Saturday?
Well, our intent with the rally was to make it inclusive, to provide people with a voice from all different walks of life who had all different issues and concerns. So rather than focusing primarily on women's issues, we wanted to open up the stage, so to speak, so mm-hmm. that different people could speak about different issues. So that's what the essence of that rally was. And you saw people from all different walks of life and all who represented all these different sub-communities within our own community. For me, I would suggest that what I was marching for and ultimately what most people are marching for, I think it can be summed up in we're marching to preserve the fundamental institutions that make our democracy possible. And what Trump represents is the erosion of some of the fundamental precepts of democracy. And so that's why he's so different in my mind from the other Republican presidents that, like Bob, I opposed, but I certainly never felt the urge to go march in the streets. But in this case, I like our First Amendment rights, for example, that to me is one of the prime examples. That's what creates balance. And I think that's one of the first things that's going to go. And I fear we're moving towards really a dictatorship.
All right, so listeners, before I get your phone calls, because lo and behold, every line's filled up now, I want to start with a listener's email. And it comes from a woman named Stephanie, and she writes the following to us. She says, I'm a recent graduate from Niagara University, where I studied political science, international relations with minors in women's studies, history, and Middle Eastern Islamic studies. I attended the Women's March on Washington this past Saturday, and to be honest, I had very conflicting emotions. As a woman, I was moved and happy to see so many women and men come out to support women's rights. That being said, as a woman of color, I was heartbroken. I saw men and women come out in numbers that I've never seen before, and I couldn't help but to think, where were you for Sandra Bland and all the other women of color who needed you the most in our hours of need? I was surrounded by mostly white women trying to find ways I could relate to them other than my gender. I understood them, but in my mind, would half of them have been there if Hillary had won or if Trump were pro-choice? If the crowd had been filled with mostly black and brown bodies, would the police be there in riot gear? Would half of these people be at the next rally that centers around something other than my reproductive right to choose? The answer to that is most likely no, they wouldn't. And that broke my heart. End quote. That's from Stephanie, an email there. I'll start with Miriam. As a woman of color, just to sort of internalize what she's saying there, you felt that positive energy. She's feeling a confliction of emotions after being there. What do you think?
I understand exactly where she's coming from. I felt that the tone of the rally, at least in Washington, D.C., was extremely positive with the police because of a large amount of the crowd being white and a large amount of the crowd being middle class. So I did feel that the police did treat the crowds perhaps differently than if it had been a Black Lives Matter march. So I agree with her on that. However, do not be disheartened. Do not be disheartened. We care about women's issues. And yes, with Sandra Bland, I know a lot of white people who cared about what happened to her. What I think as a Black community we're learning is that what we've known for a long time, that there is white privilege, is now people are starting to have their eyes open and recognize what white privilege is and that they've been the benefit of that. So do not be disheartened. I think that we're all becoming more enlightened.
Okay. Bonnie, what do you think?
I think her criticisms are fair, and I think that we have to have the hard conversations. And I think the leadership team with Action Together, we're going out and having those conversations with women of color in the community. It happens that that team, it does not have a lot of diversity, and we have right from the get-go said we need to have those conversations, but we're having those conversations one-on-one. We get it that there's distrust and mistrust and that we have a ways to go, but I'm willing to sit down and have that hard conversation, and I think a lot of my colleagues are as well. And I think it's a really valid criticism, and I don't mind having my feet held to the fire.
Okay. Nicole, how about locally here? How would you respond to what Stephanie is writing from that perspective, having been in Washington? But certainly I think that comment is one that you might hear in cities across the country. What do you think?
Well, I do think that there were people at the rally who probably would have made that same, raised that same issue. I think that the makeup of the people of our rally was probably similar to what you saw in cities across the country. And, you know, the police presence at our rally was very respectful. And I'm not sure there is absolutely institutional racism, and there are absolutely issues. And I was a public defender for 4 years. That's how I started off my legal career. So I spent my first four years of my legal career addressing those issues and dealing with people. And I understand what happens. I had primarily minority clients, and I can guarantee you that they were treated differently and charged differently than the white clients. And so it absolutely exists. I understand her complaints. Not complaints, but the criticisms that she's bringing in her, the reason she's conflicted. And there are really no easy answers, and Rochester is certainly not immune, nor was our rally, from those issues.
Okay. And Bob, how would you respond to that as someone who's worked on these issues for so many years?
Well, I also, you know, concur a lot. I think that racism, as well as misogyny, I mean, as a straight white male, I realize that I'm in a position that's, you know, different. I came to the rally to be, aside from, you know, obviously demonstrating against the Trump administration, to be supportive of the intent and the purpose behind the women's rally. But there's no question that institutional racism is deep, and as well as misogyny is deep. And so the purpose of the rally was to, you know, bring those to the forefront. And it was predominantly, I mean, there was certainly a good mixture, but certainly I would say it was more white than African-American or other minorities. So those are important issues, and the white community and white men have to listen, have to do the hard work, have our feet held to the fire, as Bonnie said. And there's a lot of work to do.
Well, and Marion, let me just follow up with you. I mean, you raised the point about what sort of the Black community maybe has known for years, other people may be more waking up to in recent years, or particularly in recent weeks. And you have some conflicting views on just the concept of intersectionality to begin with in sort of the national press. You see some saying, look, the Women's March brought together all of these strands of our country, of humanity. And yes, there were some hard moments, and there should be, that we need to confront some hard parts of our past, but this is a way to bring people together to at least confront that and then to try to move forward. Others like Damon Linker, who write for The Week, have said that he thinks that the left is going to, quote unquote, eat itself because it is too focused on a status of victimhood. And Damon is a guy who considers himself center left, but he witnessed people being sort of condescended to, white women being told, please don't talk, those kinds of things. And he says that's not productive. So, but then again, as Bob may point out, Damon Linker's a white man. And it's sort of easy to stand on the side and say his perspective is pretty limited. Do you think there is a concern of fracturing, or do you think that these hard moments, we have to have these conversations if you're going to move ahead?
Don't let people fracture us. It's a concerted effort to divide and conquer. Don't be told that you don't have a voice, because everyone has a story to tell. And it doesn't matter if you're white or you're black or you're Asian or who you are. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish, or if you are an atheist or a pagan. People are going to try to separate us. Don't allow that to happen, because we need to be unified in our view that America is great. America is a land of opportunity. And we have our Constitution to support that. But it's just a piece of paper. And if it doesn't have the people unified behind it who say we will not give up our First Amendment rights, and I agree with Nicole, that's going to be the first thing that's attacked, then we don't have America. So we can't eat ourselves. And I frankly didn't see any of that happening at the march.
Okay.
I didn't see any of that happening. It was very unified. But we can't let people try to come in and divide us, even if they bring out truths. We're not victims unless we allow ourselves to remain victims. And there's no problem in talking about what's happened in the past. It's the only way that can bring about healing.
All right. Every phone line is filled up. We're talking about the marches in Washington, Rochester, Seneca Falls, and around the world on Saturday. And all of our panelists attended either in Rochester or in Washington. Beverly in Rochester, first up on the phone. Go ahead, Beverly.
Hi. I am a 65-year-old grandmother from Greece. I work full-time in my own business, and I've never been called to be an activist or been very political in my life. But when Donald Trump made his choice to head the Environmental Protection Agency, who was going to be, it to me looked as though he was thumbing his nose at global warming and just saying, I don't care about it, it doesn't exist, I care about NATO, I care about the economy, but anything else can pretty much go by the wayside because it doesn't matter. And that's the one issue to me for my grandchildren and for your grandchildren and for everyone worldwide. You can't get back what you've lost globally by global warming. If you can't get it back, we can change the election next time and vote for someone that is more like-minded to us, and we can go out in droves, but you can't get back what's been lost. And that's my main reason for going to the march. I will say, though, a comment on my being there in Washington. It was amazing. It was life-changing for me. Donald Trump has made me an activist, and I thank him very much for that. And to the black lady that called and criticized a little bit, I'm there for you from now for the rest of my life. If there's something that you need, I'm going to be aware. I'm going to find out about it, and I'm changed by this. So the other thing is I'm a big Facebook user, and on Facebook I see so many people who are critical of the hats that women wore. That's their focus. Nothing about what happened there, but the hats that people wore, or the fact that there was garbage on the ground, or that signs were put in Trump Tower, in front of Trump Tower. There was garbage there, because the garbage people from the inauguration hadn't had time to bring back any receptacles. It was pitiful. There wasn't any place to put anything. I put mine in my little tiny bag and took it with me. And there were people that didn't. That's true. That's not the focus. We need to listen to each other, both the people that want Trump in and the people that don't. If we don't try to understand each other, we can never come out of this successfully. I'm listening to the other side, and I'm going to find a way to try and make them understand me, because looking forward in my life, I can't go on like this. I am really changed by this.
Wow. Beverly, thank you for the phone call. I mean, there's a 65-year-old woman who says that this has switched her on and changed her. She's acknowledging that maybe she wasn't as involved in the past, but she's hearing women of color who say, where were you before? And she says, I can only move forward and I'm going to be there for you now. Now, the test going forward, people like Bonnie, I would say the test going forward is, do they follow through, right? This is a moment where people like Beverly are feeling that energy. How do you go forward with this? What's one thing that you would want listeners to know about involvement, about engagement, that can change the options that may be there for them?
Well, I don't want to plug our group too hard, but we're there for you, and we're there to share information, and we're there as a hub to connect you, and we're there to fill in the gaps where we see that other nonprofits or community organizations aren't maybe are not covering something. We're at 9,000 in the Western New York group and almost 1,000 in Rochester. So, you know, we're pushing out information all the time. You can pick your action of the day, and then we have in-person meetings, and you can join the committee that you want to be on. And, you know, we are trying to support people with those hard conversations. You know, there's been a lot of threads about how do I talk to Trump voters? How do I talk to this person who is criticizing me for not being there all along? I feel like people are activated and ready to have hard conversations in a way that they never were before. I feel like it's a sea change, and I feel like we will find as leaders, we need to keep pushing to find ways to come together, not play the victim, and not be divided.
Okay, and so if they want to reach out to you, go ahead. How do they do that?
So our website is actiontogetherrochester.org, and there's a hyphen between together and Rochester. And then we have a closed Facebook group, which you can find closed, not secret, and that's also Action Together Rochester.
Action Together Rochester. Bob, she mentioned on the line that she also does want to try to understand people who voted for Donald Trump and may view things a little differently. I know you have very strong feelings about this election, about this president. But do you agree with her that it is worth at least trying to understand what motivated those voters, or do you feel that there's too big a gulf?
Oh, no, absolutely. It's important to try to connect and to find common ground. I don't have any doubt that there's a large number of Trump voters who were voting out of very good reasons in their own mind, you know, whether it was the jobs being gone from, you know, Midwestern cities or coal mines closing, and that's what their life had been. So there, it wasn't all about that there was a strain of racism or misogyny or, you know, nativism that was running through it. It was about what they were feeling. I know Beverly mentioned climate change. And if there's an area of common ground, you know, and this is an important issue because of the administration coming in who are denying it, you know, this will affect everybody. And as she mentioned, it will affect our grandchildren. So that's an area where, you know, the science is overwhelming. There's no question about it anymore. And the people that aren't willing to deal with it are ostriches in terms of just the science. So if you want an area of common ground to reach out to people that may have voted differently, it's to talk about our future.
All right. I want to get back to your phone calls in just a second, and we're going to spend the rest of the hour on your calls because I know a lot of you want to share your experiences and talk about getting involved going forward. As we go to break, I just want to remind you, we reached out last week as the week went on looking for people who are headed to Washington Friday and Saturday. We wanted to find people and talk to people who were going to the inauguration, and we wanted to have a chance to talk to people who were going to the marches. It was very difficult to find people going on Friday. It just was. And it was a lot easier to find people who went to the marches. We probably could have had 10 different panels here. That's just how it shaped up. Now, it turns out, not a whole lot of people went to the inauguration. It was about 250,000 people, pretty modest crowd as inaugurations go. And that's not to malign Donald Trump or his administration. I mean, many of his supporters are probably not directly in Washington. I think he didn't win very many Washington votes. So maybe that had something to do with it. And the crowds for the marches were huge. That's just the way it happened. That's why you're hearing the panel as it shaped up right now. But I promise you going forward, we'd like to continue to reach out and hear from people maybe who went to the inauguration or have different views. That will continue to happen. Let's get our only break of the hour and come back with our panel and your phone calls next. Coming up in our second hour, it's our dialogue on disability, and today we look at how art can impact the development of the brain of a person with autism, the nexus between art and autism. And we're talking about art in a number of different ways. Music, when it comes to singing, performing music, dance, film creation, writing, painting, drawing, and more. Art and autism, next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Back to the phones we go. Lydia in Rochester next. Go ahead, Lydia.
Hi, this is Lydia Bayonetta. I'm one of those one of the organizers for the J20 that went to the Saturday counter inauguration. And it was a great march. It was a great gathering for us because we were able to. I couldn't tell you how many people were there, but there was a lot. There was one bus from a full bus from Rochester, New York, and we met up with people from all over the country, from Durham, from Michigan, and just all over the place, even some people as far as from Atlanta. It was really good, and I thought that the march was, you know, there was multiple marches, and I think the people on the J20 and on the counter inauguration really was able to bring out the message that we needed to, you know, bring forth, particularly the issue of racism and support self-determination from Black and Latin people and Indigenous people, and the whole idea of the raising the issue of deportation and raids and full rights for immigrants. All of those things were talked about. And, of course, we were also in solidarity with the Women's March that was going to be happening the next day. In fact, I just wanted to say that the Women's March on Washington had issued a unity principles defining what it stands for. And I thought that it was important to say that including, you know, the rights for workers and immigrants and LGBTQIA communities as well, and people with disabilities and environmental justice and civil and reproductive rights. So all those were important. I find that it is a strong message to the Trump administration and his cabinet. Both days, the J21 and the J20, it was a wonderful thing. I just wanted to make sure that people knew that there were people who went to Washington, D.C., to the counter inauguration march as well.
Lydia, thanks very much for the phone call. And on that note, I'll let you know a few of the phone lines are open now. Did you go to some of the marches, one of the marches on Saturday? Did you go in Rochester, Seneca Falls? Did you go to Washington? Did you want to share your thoughts? You have questions about what you heard and saw. Join the program. It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Emma wants to know, what does your panel think about pro-life women feeling excluded like she feels? So Emma's saying she's pro-life. She felt excluded this weekend. Bonnie, what do you think?
I think this is a struggle. The platform for Action Together and the platform for the Women's March is decidedly pro-choice. We know that there are places where we can come together. There are places where we have overlap in terms of issues and concerns, and we are hoping to build coalitions, but we're not going to back down from the fact that our group is pro-choice. And I think that's where the Women's March ended as well. You know, they welcomed, there's several pro-life feminist groups out there. They welcomed them to march, but they were not part of the platform. And I think that there are times when we have to say there are lines that we have to draw, and this is one of them.
Okay, Miriam, how do you feel?
I'm a devout Catholic, Evan. And when I was there, even though I am a devout Catholic, I firmly believe in social justice issues. I think there's more of a problem with cutting off health insurance to 20 million people, and that's something that needs to be discussed. At the Women's March, I saw Feminists for Life. I saw pro-life women standing next to women that had signs that said, "Keep your rosaries off my ovaries." And there were also Catholic women that had signs saying 99% of Catholic women utilize birth control. So not everybody could be on the platform, but everyone was marching together and everyone was respectful. And I was grateful for that.
Okay. Well, now all the lines are back filled up here. So let's go ahead and continue our discussion on the phones here. Sister Beth in Rochester, next up. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes. Hi. My name is Sister Beth, and I am totally committed that we make connections locally and keep things going around all the issues that the march represented. So I want to make sure that people there, if they're willing, could make sure we get your phone number and or email so I could send out something that's literally happening this coming Thursday for people to come together and get out their issues and then keep on seeing how we can connect. And there's a second session where the Ad Council, Causewave, is going to be helping us get the message around the respective issues. And it's not faith-based. It's faith-based and civic-based. Does that make sense?
Sure. So you're asking to share contact information or
Yes, so I can get this email out about the program on Thursday.
Well, I'll tell you what we can do. We can jump on our website when we put up the podcast, and this is always the disclaimer whenever we talk about organizations, causes, charities, etc.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it in our community. WXXI does not endorse or promote. We're simply just having a conversation, and we're letting you know how to get connected if you choose to be. Beth, do you have information to share with us? Are you looking for others to share that?
No, I have information to share.
Okay, so
I have an email I can send to somebody. But
why don't you email me, Beth?
And okay, what's your email?
edawson@wxxi.org, which is utilized hundreds of times a day. edawson@wxxi.org.
I'll try to do it right now.
That's very good.
Going.
Thank you, Sister Beth.
Thank you all. Very interesting. Thank you.
I appreciate that. And as I said, jump on wxxinews.org/connections later today. We always put the full audio of every hour up, and we always include helpful links that are just connected to the conversation. And so we'll have that there for you. Mike in Rochester next. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon. I was, my daughter went to the march, and it was really exciting to watch, you know, her enthusiasm, the enthusiasm of her friends. And if this, you know, is a bringing a new age of social activism, I don't see how that can be a downside. But the real issue that perplexes me is when the two sides of the spectrum kind of like shut down or shut off the other side. And ultimately, you know, we have to like kind of model the behavior that we want to see even in the face of, you know, such anger. So the issue of, you know, you could be a woman's rights supporter but have a different position on abortion, you know? Yes, to recognize where Trump's coming from in his comments and some of his behavior towards women is vile. Totally get it. But you got to kind of see that Bill Clinton was no champion in his behavior towards women. So being able to see both sides of the spectrum is the essence as we move forward. Thank you.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the phone call. Anybody want to weigh in on that there?
I think the difference is that Bill Clinton didn't try and roll back women's rights or an environmental legislation or, I mean, register refugees and Muslims. I mean, they may both be lacking in a certain amount of moral character. That's not really my place. But I think that the policy issues are really what's at play.
Okay. Everybody agree on anything you want to add there? Mike, thank you for the phone call. Let's go back to Betsy in Brighton. Go ahead, Betsy.
Hi. I attended the march with a carload of people from Rochester, and I would say that people were very peaceful. They were very cohesive. There were people I met people from California, from Washington State, from Montana, from Georgia, and I think that one sign that I saw was I have more issues to discuss than can fit on this placard. And so when Rudy Giuliani says, I don't know what they were marching about, there are so many issues that it just can't be left in one soundbite. And my sign said, United we stand, divided we fall. And I made a little logo for No Putin Puppet, because honestly, I think that is the crux of our problem, is that when you have somebody who's undermining our democracy from within, that is our greatest danger. And I think subdividing the American populace has been a great strategy for people who want to divide us, but I think we need to find the bottom line, and that's surviving our democracy, or making sure our democracy survives for all of us, and also for our world, because there's people across the world who marched who do not get to vote in our elections, and so I'm also standing up for them.
Betsy, thanks for the phone call. And on that note, a couple of emails to read before I jump back to the phones, because the spirit of Betsy's phone call is United We Stand. And Kat writes to us and says, in response to what Stephanie emailed earlier, Kat says, it's my sincere hope that going forward, white women will turn out to Black Lives Matter marches and protests. United, many people who attended the marches over the weekend have never protested before. Thus, they're not in a pool of people that would go out to march. I think Stephanie's comment was totally validated. Just hoping that we can move forward from where were you when this injustice happened to, hey, we're going to support Black Lives Matter. You in? That's from Kat. But Tim in Pittsburgh says, he says, as a self-identified liberal, he says the Women's March, but was it only for certain women? This does not seem all-inclusive, and that's disappointing. Our side can't keep wanting and telling the right to be more open-minded and inclusive while not doing the same ourselves. That's from Tim. I guess he was sending that around the time we were talking about pro-life and pro-choice issues or the abortion question. And Tim, I would say, talking to people over the weekend, there are some women, and again, I just try to kind of observe conversations, who view that that's like saying a pro-life feminist is like saying an atheist Christian, whereas others say, absolutely, you can be against abortion rights, but also a feminist. That's, for me, I'm just trying to observe that discussion. But Nicole Black, do you feel that when Tim says it sounds like it's not all-inclusive, as you said, you kind of have to make some decisions on lines that you want to support, you're not going to be all inclusive to everybody, right? I mean, there are certain groups, there are certain positions that would, of course, not be welcome. Anything that's sort of anti-environment, anything that's anti-civil rights would not be welcome. So, Tim, send me an email more about your feelings on that. But what do you think about the criticism that it wasn't inclusive enough?
Well, I think that criticism seems to stem. Typically, it's when it comes to the pro-life issue or the abortion issue in feminism, that's one small part of what this march was about, even the women's march, because they had expanded their platform significantly. I mean, that's a complex question. You know, there are classes in undergraduate, you know, institutions focused on feminism where I'm sure they spend 3 weeks on what is the definition of a feminist. So if you want to ultimately decide what is a feminist, is being pro-choice what defines a feminist? It probably is not. You know, I think what defines a feminist is that women are equal and can make their own choices. I sometimes think the idea of pushing your beliefs onto other people can be problematic, but then again, I'm pro-choice. So I think that's a thorny issue. And whether the march was inclusive along other lines, you know, certainly that goes to the heart of this whole issue of intersectionality. And like we all agree, that's a really difficult issue. And so I don't think I have the answer.
Okay.
We sit here today.
Bob in Washington, you said it felt positive, strong, inclusive. What would you say to Tim?
Well, I guess just that. I saw, you know, I mean, I saw a wide range of people of all colors and all faiths. You know, I saw people representing, you know, everything. And they were together. They were sharing, and that part was just, I found, amazingly positive and overwhelming. So I just have a hard time, you know, getting the point in a sense. I understand, obviously, this issue in terms of, you know, pro-choice and you know, pro-life or anti-choice is more what I say, is extremely thorny. And I you know, don't have an answer, and I certainly don't believe that defines feminism.
It's just another way to divide us. It's another way to divide us. And if I could speak to what Betsy said about Putin,
yep.
It seems to me that our president has called for extreme vetting of everyone but himself. The least thing he could do is to release his tax returns. He has not done this, and this is a problem. He has called for extreme vetting of everyone but himself and some of his cabinet right. picks. And this is something that we need to focus on, and I think that everyone can get together on that. It should be mandatory that anyone who wants to be the commander-in-chief of our armed forces needs to produce something as small as what a bank asks you to produce when you are applying for a mortgage. And that is his tax return.
I suspect, Miriam, the next big demonstration may be Tax Day. And I'm already hearing that there is some movement afoot to have demonstrations on Tax Day, similar to what we saw, demanding the release of tax returns. We'll see.
At a minimum, this should be required for the commander-in-chief of the greatest nation on the planet. At a minimum.
All right, Bob in Mendon next on the phone. Go ahead, Bob.
I keep hearing Trump's retort about the march, I think he said, you know, why didn't these people go out and vote then? I'm sure that's very similar to all of his other comments and completely untrue. But I'm curious, you know, for my own knowledge, did your panel vote?
Of course.
Yes.
I have voted in every primary and presidential election since the first one I could vote in 1982, and in every local election with the exception of two, one on May 8th, 1997, when I was giving birth to my daughter, and another local election when I was out of the country with my sister in Italy. So yes, we believe in voting. It would be an insult not to vote.
I suspect, Bob, your point is everybody who marched on Saturday should make sure that they're voting in the next election?
No. My point is that the focus of Trump was, well, you know, obviously these people didn't vote, and that's why they're unhappy. And I,
oh,
you know,
no,
again,
no,
I, as I said, I believe this, among most everything else the man says, is untrue. And the thing that bothers me most is he makes such ridiculous claims like this, and the focus seems to be on that, not what the true, you know, not why everyone was gathering to begin with. He has, I don't want to say a brilliant way, but certainly an effective way of whenever somebody says something that he dislikes, he will come out and say something, get all the spotlight, and we seem to kind of forget what we were there to be, why we were there to begin with. And I don't ever want to have that get lost. So, you know, I'm thanking you for this program. But I think whomever it is should not put so much credence on what he's saying to deflect it. We should just concentrate on why it was said to begin with.
All right, Bob, thank you. Or Sean Spicer. I mean, if we could have spent the entire first hour today talking, how big was the crowd really on Friday? I mean, you talk about a ridiculous diversion. But Bob's point, the more we spend time on that, the less we talk about, well, what should we do regarding energy policy? What should his tax returns be on? Bonnie, you want to jump in?
I think that is probably going to be the hardest battle, because it's easy to get distracted by these insults and outrageous claims. The hardest battle is going to be to keep promoting the truth. Even the New York Times has changed their motto to be something like the, you know, truth lives here, or come here for the truth, or come here for real information. I think that is a big part of our battle over the next 4 years.
All right. I'll try to squeeze in as many comments as we can. Ingrid in Penfield. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Thanks so much for this program. I was at the rally in Rochester, and I was really heartened and cheered by what I saw there. I spoke to a woman who must have been in her 70s, maybe a little older. She was carrying a sign that said, "Give peace a chance." I talked to her at length. She explained that was a Vietnam War slogan. She said when we protested the Vietnam War, it was all about one thing. And I look out here at all these signs. There are so many things we're standing for here today. And that's what I thought, and it was wonderful. And it's not just one thing. And I love that everyone was there together with their own, specific personal slant on the main reason they came out, the main thing that would fit on the sign. But there were so many, and everyone was willing to work together. The speeches were extremely encouraging. They addressed, you know, I've heard some of the people here on the program and also on Facebook saying, you know, why was it all about vaginas? Why were the pussy hats? And then black and brown women, you know, saying, what about me? And I just wanted, like the other caller you had, I'm an older woman who has been slow to get in the game. But now I am in. I was there to stand with anyone who needed someone to stand next to them. And I am going to be doing it for the rest of my life now. So right when we finally get in the game, just give us a little love. We might not be getting it exactly right, but we're doing our best, and you just ask us if you want us to do something different. Thanks.
Ingrid, thank you. That's two different callers this hour saying maybe we haven't been in the game, but we are now. We are switched on, and we are going to be part of this going forward, and so we'll see. All right, so as we start to lose the hour here, we're down to our last 40 seconds or so. Panelists, the message you'd have for the audience if they want to stay engaged, and again, not endorsing any single particular view, I'm just asking you because our listeners are asking me to ask you for this. They want to get involved. They want to know how to get involved locally. Bonnie had mentioned before. Do it again. Go ahead.
Action Together Rochester is our Facebook page. It's a closed group. You can friend us and we'll approve you. And then actiontogether-rochester.org is our website, and you can sign up for our email list, and we got all sorts of plans. So
actiontogether-rochester.org. actiontogether-rochester.org if you want to do that. I miss anything else here? Bob, Miriam?
There's an old saying going way back to the Vietnam and before, think globally and act locally.
And that's what you plan to keep doing.
Lots of stuff out there.
We could have spent the whole day on this, as you can probably imagine, but I just want to thank our panelists who had a busy weekend and took the time for us this afternoon. Miriam Zinter, thank you. Great seeing you here.
Thanks, Evan.
Bob Good, our pleasure. Thank you so much. Bonnie, thank you for
thank
the time
you.
Here. Nicole, at last minute, thank you so much. And I know
My pleasure.
Representing what happened in Rochester as well this weekend. And callers, took as many of your calls as we can. I promise, these conversations continue. And again, if you went on Friday, not on Saturday, if you went to celebrate the inauguration, let us know as well. We couldn't find very many who did that, but we want to keep talking about all these issues. Short break and more connections next.